This is Screen Divers. On this week's episode, we are talking about 1993 Hot Shots Part 2, directed by Jim Abrahams, written by Jim Abrahams, and starring Charlie Sheen, Lloyd Bridges, Valeria Golino, Brenda Bakke, Richard Crenna, Ryan Stiles, and tons of other character actors. Cinematography by John R. Leonetti. Music by Basil Polidorus. Distributed by 20th Century Fox. And released on May the 21st, 1993. Which means that this episode will come out on the eve of this movie's 22nd anniversary.
Oh, no,
32nd anniversary.
Wow.
Yes. Facto, it's galore. This movie has a running time of 89 minutes, which gives you ample, ample time to put a gun in your mouth. It was made for a budget of $25 million and it made a ludicrous $133.8 million.
Wow.
How are you, Ricky?
I'm all right. How are we after such a long break?
I'm going back to work tomorrow.
Oh,
okay. Awesome.
How are you, Steve?
I'm great. Slightly hungover.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what changed. You have a problem, sir.
No, I was about to say, is that his new middle name? Slightly hungover.
We're going to chastise him now because he had a night out. He's a 50-year-old man on a bender. Let him have a time.
50?
That's all that
almost. Almost 50.
Oh, my God.
Gotta wait till August.
And semantics.
Yeah.
A quintessential question must be asked. Ricky, what is this movie about?
It's about 20 movies rolled into one, including mainly Rambo. But you know what? This film is essentially the best, worst version of Rambo you've ever seen, and I will stick to my guns on that one.
I mean, it's a nice touch to have Richard. Is it Richard Crenna? No,
yeah.
Is it Richard
Crenna?
Yeah. It's Colonel Troutman in the original Rambo.
Colonel Denton Walters in this one. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
I've got to say, this is probably the reason why I will always go to parody films, this particular film. There is just something about the number of jokes per minute plus the fact that the parodies of other films are, they're brilliant. They're so on the nose and so perfect.
Mate, we ordered pizza and I had a living room containing myself, Anne, Steve, Mari, Steve's partner, Marcus, a friend that came over to help me assemble a barbecue, whatever, like a new grill, and his partner. Yes. You would think someone read the fucking Necronomicon in my living room because everybody's eyes rolled way, way inside their head. Everyone turned into a fucking dead eye at some point. There were beats in which we were laughing. But mate, just like Loaded Weapon, when the jokes fall flat in this one, holy shit.
Yeah. There are a lot of jokes in this of the time. That's the biggest problem.
We say the same thing about every piece of shit we ever... It was all the time.
I know.
Yeah, it was another time, you know? Like, it's a fucking... Jesus.
But, I mean, like... It's all the time.
It's 1993. There's fucking funny movies in the 80s and the 90s, man.
I would personally say, though, there was nothing very... there are cringeworthy bits, but there's nothing that I would say... Oh, no, you can't do that nowadays.
No,
I will never say alarm the same way again. It will have a H in front of it. It's halarm from now on. That I laughed, but it hit me like 3 seconds later. So I read it. Ricky, I'm not going to... Actually, I am. I'm going to put it on you, dude. And I'll tell you why.
You can do.
There's recorded evidence. I did say in the last episode when we did Hot Shots, I said, no, but Hot Shots, but I'm telling you guys, it's funnier. And everyone's like, yeah. All this fucking sycophantic behavior from all of us.
No, it's just track. How we remember.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Because I watched the first 10 minutes and I thought, oh, man, you need to see the opening sequence with fucking... And then... rewatching it, it wasn't as funny. And I thought, oh, shit, there's people in the room. It's like I revealed a kink to everybody and then try to go, no, I'm not into that anymore. But wait a second, you were into that shit a week ago. No, I'm not into that anymore.
And you know what? This is why I said to you we should have done Hot Shots followed by Hot Shots Part 2, because if you've got a direct comparison, you would have found Hot Shots Part 2 so much funnier. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but you're describing a fucking hellish scenario in which we watch 3 hours of shit back to back. Yeah. So don't talk about it. Anyway, besides that, it is on you. It is on you, and you can deny it. And the reason why is because when I called you from Egypt, in between fucking dives, I had regrets already. And I tried to change the movie. And you went, no. Actually, not even. I said, hey, we're doing this next week. And you went, but when we're doing Hot Shots Part 2. And I'm like, no, let's do that. That's you.
Hey, mate, look, just because you're trying to show people that you're some sort of
no.
Verbose. I watch these amazing films.
Fuck you. You're calling me a movie snob?
No. Yeah. I'm not saying you're a movie snob. I'm just saying that...
You're the movie snob.
I'm saying that a couple of weeks ago, you were like, you know what? Hot Shots Part 2. You've sat in a room where people were like basically rolling on the floor being like, this is the pain. Oh my God, it's burning in my soul. That you're like, oh, this was a terrible choice.
Dude, our friend Marcus, who's usually like really cool, calm and collected, he was laughing a little bit too much. And I have my doubts about him now. But, and hopefully fucking listens to this, but he also had 3 vodkas, 2 scotches, and then switched to red wine, which concerned me.
I think that's the best way to watch this, isn't it?
As we learned that lesson on Loaded Weapon.
Oh, God.
Holy shit. Even Ryan Stiles, man. When Ryan Stiles came on, we were like, holy shit, Ryan Stiles, yeah! And it's like, he's got no fucking funny lines in this. He was funny in the first one. Like, they gave him nothing.
He was funny in the first one.
He does some slapstick physical comedy without any dialogue, and it's like, you just want to fucking... I could taste the mat all in my mouth.
I think one of the things, though, about this film is that, unlike the first film, there were a lot more lines that I finished. So, for example, the best one that I can remember.
You laughed to completion. That's what you're saying.
It's like, finished. I can see you're no stranger to pain. I've been married. Twice.
Yeah.
See, it's those little things that, like, in the back of your memory, you suddenly go, oh my goodness, I found this so funny when I first saw this. And the next line's going to be so good. Oh my God, it was. You know, and there's a lot of things that have changed from 30 years ago, but there's still a nice, warm, lovely place in this film.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably your ass, but anyway,
it's fantastic.
One of the key things I will say is that it is a better movie than the first one.
Yes.
That's it. I'm seeing Umba's face.
But I'm following your point. I'm open. I am open.
I know you're open, but that's another story.
You know, things in Egypt make me a little loose.
Fucking A, dude.
Especially played with unlimited bar.
Peaches. Did I send you guys a picture of the sink several times?
No.
Well, globally, most... Like actual toilet boils. Jesus Christ. That's what I got in Egypt. Toilet boils. No. most toilet bowls are placed opposite sinks. It's just the way most bathrooms are designed, right? So I think I sent one to Michelle. I said, hey, look where I'm texting you from. And I just sent her a picture of the sink. I was in there for 40 minutes, and at one point I couldn't feel my legs. I could not feel my legs because I was playing Balatro on the throne. Yeah. You're laughing because that's common, right?
That's pretty much what I would do as well.
Yeah. For our listeners that don't know what Balatro is, consider yourself lucky.
Yeah.
You still have a job. You got bills to pay. Do not touch again. Balatro.
Bilateral.
This is a non-paid advertisement for Bilateral.
It's available on most gaming consoles on PC and on Android and iOS.
Is it free on PlayStation Plus? I believe it's now free on PlayStation Plus.
Isn't it on Xbox Game Pass?
It's been on Xbox Game Pass for about a month or two, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this and you're like to yourself, oh, but I don't play video games, I have better things to do with my time. Well, check it out. Check it out.
Buy it. I still have not.
Fuck. Anyway, going back to this movie, when it's funny, it's
it really
funny.
Hits.
Yeah.
It hits.
Yeah. I mean, but again, it maybe because Lloyd Bridges is funnier in the first movie than this, all right? But the entire paranoid fit when he sees his wife's feet under the door in the White House.
Yeah.
Or who is it? Like, there's a moment in which he has a lot of paranoia. There's a lot of paranoia. And I got to say, as much as the other party who is in office now was somehow, to a lot of people, the only option, Lloyd Bridges reminded me of Biden in this a lot.
But
it's that level of senility. Just, yeah.
But what I really loved about the character of President Thomas Tugg Benson was the silliness. Just the absolute, like, you know, Topper goes, President Benson, no, you're not. I've seen him on TV. An older man. About your my height. You know?
And then
stupid
he goes,
silliness.
Let's move away from the power cables. Because there's power cables in the shot behind him. What the fuck?
But then on top of that, he later on goes, by the way, Topper, I wouldn't introduce yourself as the president. You know, you could get yourself in serious trouble. You know,
they drag it. They drag the joke and
fun.
It works.
Yeah. And it does work, yeah. And it works more than some of the jokes in the first one. And what I think about this second one is everything that they kind of pulled their punches on the first one, they just went in balls to the wall and they just, like, hit. There are so many meta jokes in this, and this was at a time where meta jokes weren't as prevalent as they are nowadays.
Give me an example.
It's like, oh, here you are. I can't believe you're here. Of course I was going to be here. The sales in the first film did really well, so of course I got invited for a sequel. You know, like little meta jokes like that, yeah.
When Richard Crenna is introducing the people that are with him when they go to the temple, he goes, and this is, by the way, I mean, Valerio Golino, yes, nose aside, I know I have a problem, right? I do have a problem with nose, but beautiful eyes, she's a beautiful woman, but I got to say that she's rivaled heavily by Brenda Backey. I completely forgot about it. She's smoldering.
I completely forgot Brenda Backey was in the movie.
Yeah.
I completely forgot.
Yeah. You'll never look at a diving board the same way again. But
she was wearing granny panties, though.
I wasn't noticing
you
that.
You weren't noticing.
She could be wearing the fairy suit. There's the bit when they walk to the temple and Richard Crenna is doing the introductions, like, and this is Michelle Huddleston. He's just an extra. The guy next to her. And he's just an extra.
Mm.
Are you going to fucking laugh even if you don't feel like it, you motherfuckers? No.
But,
fuck you.
But that's what I mean by how we take for granted, especially since the South Park, the Family Guys, the American Dads that constantly do meta jokes. The fact is that this was, whatever, 93, and they were doing some proper meta jokes. It's astounding, right?
Yes. I think it's a combination of, it seems to me that there must be a writing team, right, that writes these jokes. It's not all Jim Abrahams. It must be, you know, like a writer's
two
room.
Guys,
and
they, isn't it?
Yeah, and the same thing happens in South Park. The same thing happens in Family Guy, Robot Chicken, all these shows that have this, like, rapid fire kind of. But it seems to me that we time, because, you know, the shows that we mentioned are almost 10 years later. Some of them were running parallel to when this came out. Like, The Simpsons has been around since before this, 89 or whatever it was. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this comparison, but as we're watching the movie, I did say, again, I found myself uttering the same thing, which is, this is not Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Right.
You know. It's, right. And then someone said, but wait a second. Like, and then my rebuttal was the same as always, which is, but, you know, and that was, it wasn't winning the argument, but it kind of stopped that train immediately. So nobody said anything after that, which was, yeah, but that had Leslie Nielsen in it and everyone nodded in agreement, which is true. It's fucking true. Like, it's, that guy has so much charisma. It's, have you seen any of Leslie Nielsen's interviews?
Yeah,
when sometimes he tells a story that he carries it's like a fart machine in his hand,
yeah,
and he uses it, and it's funny. It's, if I did that, if I did it, it would probably be at work, and I would be sitting in an office with HR in front of me. But I'm just saying, if not fired on the spot, but it was just a fart machine. It's like, well, you know, your probation period is over. Maybe that's what I need to do to get my way out tomorrow, because I don't want to go back to work. It's just, what am I going to get a fart machine to be? Amazon.
On top of that, like, would it be a fart machine that actually sounds like you're having diarrhea in front of them? Because that funnier, right?
Yeah. Surely. I don't need the fart machine for that tomorrow.
Because if it would be like, and right here we have the stock of, oh my God, it's coming!
What? No. All of it while maintaining eye contact.
And just a twitch of your, like.
Not even fucking blinking. Your move, asshole. Well, actually, like, talking about
technically your move. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No.
But what did we think about probably the most controversial joke in this film? So there's a very controversial joke. Do you want me to remind you of it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. Topper, I was so young, just a schoolgirl. He was an older man, so wise in the ways of the world. He used to come around to the schoolyard day after day. I so admired his persistence. Even after the restraining order my parents slapped on him was no deterrent. Oh, my God. But then I felt a little bit too seen. He opened my eyes to the arts, music, clog dancing, WrestleMania. How dare you, bitch?
We laughed at that joke mainly because we thought about you.
Guys, I can get, I swear to you, check on Amazon right now, Amazon UK. I can get two fart machines, the same ones that Leslie Nielsen has, two of them, one black, one red. So even the color choices suit me perfectly. But today, by 10 o'clock, $8.99.
Are you buying it?
I just have to explain this. Frequently returned. Should we read the reviews? Frequently returned. What miserable piece of shit would return? we need to... Let me see.
Can I just ask something?
It sounds like they only used it for one joke. I'm ready to end it.
Okay, I'm reading you the review.
You do that.
Poor, but not cheap. I hope to give one to my father-in-law, as it would be right up his street. He's in a care home. Imagine the chaos. But they are difficult to use. You have to get them at the exact right angle in the palm of your hand, or they don't work. They only work by the air inside vibrating on the skin of your hand as you squeeze. Yes, that's how they work. Right? When it works, it's hilarious, but only works once in a 10 goes. So it's a disappointment for nearly 10 quid. One star.
Oh my goodness.
There's more. There's more. Do you want me to read you a 5-star review?
Yes. Can you invite an actor to our podcast right now to read this review?
I don't know. You're putting me in the spot, man.
Just like you.
Arnold would be reviewing.
Yeah, it's fine. Is Arnold available? This is like in the actor studio. Can I please talk to Arnold?
Arnold, can you join us?
No.
Why? Nice day for a walk. He's not coming. He's not coming.
That's the joke.
I read you the 5-star, right? Like all musical instruments, practice makes perfect. This is the title. Like many reviewers here encountering these noisemakers for the first time, there's no immediate squeeze it and make a noise outcome from the off. You can't... Man, is this guy fucking blowing his own trumpet because he's mastered the fart machine? I'm not reading it. Let's go back to the fucking movie, dude. I'm telling you. This is a... He's like, well, are you good enough for this fart machine? He's basically saying that everyone that has reviewed this less than 5 stars, it's their fault. It's their fault. They did not master the fart machine.
But you know what? It's not his fault. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. It's not his fault.
Don't do this to me, man. If there's a single listener that they think this is off topic, they have no idea what's coming. Because I actually purchased these, and there's no fucking way I am not introducing the fart machines into the show.
No.
Regular. So once I master the fart machine, what?
Right, okay, so technically, you just bought a fart machine to disguise your actual farts. Is that not true, Umba?
To disguise his
actual farts.
You know, his dysentery.
While
that
on,
he
the
continues to have on the podcast.
Dysentery, you know. Jesus. Yeah, we're talking about fart jokes. Yeah, that's no joke.
Oh.
Anyway, let's go back to hot shots.
Every time Umbar goes, like, I'm just going to go
quite literally
for a smoke.
Hot shots.
Yeah. Can I just say one more thing? I was one vowel away from. From hot shits in Egypt. All right, that's it.
Okay, we're done. We're done. Giggity gig. Giggity gig.
So
let's go into the actors.
Martin Sheen.
Best cameo in this.
Yeah.
Perfect.
The thing that keeps bringing me back to Hot Shots Part 2 is actually that one scene. I love that scene to bits. The fact that he's doing a Platoon reference, Martin Sheen is doing Apocalypse Now reference, and as they pass, they say, I loved you in Wall Street. There's so many points in this film where you're just like, I don't think they can do another reference. Oh, bang, they do another one. Oh, bang, they do another one. It's great.
Weirdly enough, though, I didn't remember the original version, which I saw in the UK cinemas, didn't have nunchucks. So we didn't have that nunchuck scene, and you also didn't get the spoof of where she crosses her legs.
The basic instinct.
Yeah. It's not in there in the original cut.
You don't have the funny bit where in the original cut of her like reaching back to grab the. What you think from Basic Instinct, grab the ice pick. But
this
it
is
turned
the,
out...
the bed scene, right? The sex scene.
Yeah, yeah, where this, she yeah. actually, like, stops the bed from squeaking. And
And then proceeds to fire a gun in excitement afterwards. Which brings me to another point. Steve.
Yeah.
What was the gun she was firing in the sex scene? Or what did it look like?
So that was that's just a standard Colt, wasn't it? There were two standard Colts, I think. She was holding in both hands at the time. Yeah.
Okay. But, Steve, can you list five of the guns in the scene where we start having the body count?
Okay, so we've got the M60E3 straight away, which is Charlie Sheen's weapon, which was also used in Rambo First Blood Part 2. what is it? He just walked off.
So you've got four more.
So you've got AKMs in specifics. You've not just got the AKM, but you have an AKMS and an AKS-47. So that's basically three. But there's some also there's some Heckler Koshes. I think from what I saw. There was, I think, probably a Heklakosh amalgamation.
He's got one more to go, ladies and gentlemen. So is he going to make that with this last one?
I think it was an SP-89 mocked up as an MP-5K.
He thinks. He's glancing at his second fucking screen with his notes.
Yeah,
because he thinks.
Well, it's my notes, which I was trying to get down which weapons were being used.
Can I just say, actually,
he took his notes digitally, so we wouldn't give him shit about the 3 pages of notes he had on fucking Archer.
Can I just say, I was going to message Steve like yesterday and say I really hope you've got your gun knowledge down for this one, but I'm really glad I didn't, because it would have come off too cleanly, him just like barreling off how many guns he knows.
Oh, fuck.
You know, I'm beginning to think that we're giving him shit just because we are really gun shy about our lack of knowledge when it comes to weaponry.
Come on.
Maybe there's an instance in which we're in a dangerous situation. The screen divers are in a dangerous situation. Like a terrorist with a terrible, terrible German accent takes over. And there's the three of us, all right? And we need guns. But me and you don't know anything about guns.
We don't.
And all of a sudden, Steve goes, holy shit. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. I know that Umber asked me directly about the grenade launcher.
The FOMP machine, right? FOMP.
That is a DefTech 37mm launcher.
You need to say anything that comes before millimeter calls from an Australian accent.
What? 37 millimeter launcher. Come on. Give it to me now.
Jesus, that moment of silence was like, what the fuck? Oh, Ricky, I gotta tell you something. Steve, I'm gonna do you wrong now.
Are you gonna do me wrong?
Yes. We were assembling the grill, and, you know, like, Steve came over to help, and Marcus was here as well. And at one point, we're talking about some shit, and I don't know what popped into my head. It's like, Marcus, you need to fucking hear. You need to hear Steve doing a Michael Caine.
God damn it. You put me on the spot. I couldn't do it.
It was the worst example of Caine impotence I have ever seen. He just couldn't get it out. And then he started going, My name is Mike. Like, he was trying to, and I went, but that wasn't, wait a second, that wasn't the line that you were doing. Do the blowing the doors off one. And he goes, No. That's how I wrap myself up. He goes, my name is Michael Caine.
Was it like,
and then, we're having this fucking back and forth, Marcus out of nowhere jumps in and does a pretty decent Michael Caine. Yeah. And then you could see Steve turning red. Not just fucking shame, with in anger, because he couldn't fucking. And then I thought, I was in the middle of this. I thought, are they gonna have a cane off?
They're gonna be in the middle of a cane off. Did you start throwing money on the ground to who Steve, you think's wait. Gonna win?
It's a cane off. With the neighbors jumping over the fence. We'll put some money down. Can you, Steve, it's time to shine.
My name's Michael Caine. That's terrible.
It's a little Sling Blade-ish. Can you do it again, please?
So, you really fucking put me on the spot. I've got to.
You can just barely close your eyes, man. Close your eyes.
Closing my eyes.
Yes.
My name is Michael Caine. My name is Michael Caine.
You're getting there. Now, do the door bit.
I'm not going to do the door.
Close your eyes, open your mouth.
I'm not going to blow the fucking doors off. Because I'm going to instantly sound Australian for some reason. And that's...
I'm going to sound Australian for a moment. My name is Michael Caine.
Ricky, that's not bad, man.
All right.
There's a little bit of Caine in everybody.
I come from New South Wales. My name is Michael Caine.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. Let's go back to this movie.
Okay.
The temple sequence.
Yes.
The temple sequence. And it's... If without Sheen releasing this little bit of information to the audience, the entire bit that gets stretched out throughout the entire sequence wouldn't have worked. It just goes, this man, I haven't seen a woman in like They had a vote of celibacy. And as the rest of the sequence progresses in the background, you can see there's like an attempt to woo Brenda Backer's character with every single monk showing off their skills. And it's amazing. I thought that was really
Dude,
funny.
You can't talk about that scene without having the kickboxer reference at the beginning.
We're gonna, don't worry, we're not doing this chronologically. We're gonna go back to that. The entire fucking trail mix bit and the M&M's bit and the.
I love the scene you were just talking about where they're trying to impress her. One of them gets one of those acrobatic dogs on a ball.
You're not
even on board, just like up. And his idea of like, yeah, this will get her.
The next guy starts tap dancing. Yeah. And there's the bodybuilder. Like, it's great.
But you get the bodybuilder twice.
At the same time, we got a call back to the previous, to the opening joke, which is the guy that falls in the well.
Yeah.
Comes out of the well. So, it's well-intentioned. Like, there's a level of linearity to absurdity here that it's funny. But also, there are some bits that are not funny at all.
Could you give me an example?
Well, there are several. But like I said, Ryan Stiles, for example, some of the physical comedy in this does not work.
Can I just say the entire Rowan Atkinson part is not funny.
Atkinson,
not funny.
It wasn't funny at all.
They've tied my shoes together. For some reason, that sparked the thing.
I know, but even his demise, it's unfunny.
Well,
in that period, he was famous for Mr. Bean, and guess what? He didn't fucking talk. So before that, there was Blackadder, and it was really, really funny. But the American audiences don't know him for that, okay?
Yeah.
By now, yes. But in the 90s, he wasn't known for Blackadder outside Australia or the UK.
He also had, like, I'm not going to call it stand-up comedy, because what it was him doing monologues that were funny at the time. And some of those elements did appear in Hot Shots Part 2. But you're right, it was a little bit off in comparison.
But the problem is not his delivery, it was just the writing, that's all. And I think, and
quite literally, he was in the movie for 2 minutes and still got a screen credit.
Yeah, well, it's like Rowan Atkinson. Yeah. You know, like, Mr. Bean was massive export. It made him millions of pounds or dollars or whatever you want to call it. But it's, you got to remember that there was like a global universal quality to his comedy. There was no dialogue. So it could be in syndication anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. That's the stuff that makes a lot of money. I'll give you an example. One of the biggest exports of comedy from, I think it's from Quebec. It's Just for Laughs.
Yeah,
Just for Laughs. It's and they're funny. They're really funny. Those guys milk that cow because there's no dialogue. It's like silent comedy, and it's you know, sweethearted pranks or whatever they are. But it can be sold well. Candy Camera. There was some dialogue in Candy Camera. It was like some of the skits. But the point of Just for Laughs was no dialogue. You don't hear anything besides the music in the background, and that makes for a show that can be sold anywhere, absolutely anywhere. And because of the sweet nature of it, censorship not an issue. You could sell it to the Saudi. For all you know, it's the best show in North Korea. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it wasn't over in the UK because they had Beatles About. Hey Steve, do you remember Beatles About? Jeremy Beadle with the one tiny hand.
Yeah, I remember Jeremy Beadle.
It's a strong hand.
Rest in peace, Jeremy.
Rest in peace.
Which brings me back to this movie. This movie has some physical comedy in it because of that. Because if some of the dialogue, you know, this is at a time in which most movies would have been dubbed anyway in most other parts of the world. But regardless if the joke is not going to hit you, some of the physical comedy will. And also, this movie was probably, again, like the first one. That's why we liked it. It's targeted at twins, teenagers, you know. We are probably laughing at it now because of nostalgia as well. There's a little bit of nostalgia. But you can put any kid in front of this now, regardless of okay, if they can lift their fucking head from their phone, because generationally speaking, I don't see anyone, any child sitting through a fucking entire movie. You got kids, it's difficult.
I can't get married to watch an entire movie while looking at her phone.
Well, they get their entertainment in other ways, right? Like most tweens or... What's the current generation called? Is it Gen Alpha or...
Gen Alpha? Who knows? I've lost it when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Is this how out of touch we are?
Yeah, we are.
So, like, yeah. Okay, I know Gen X.
Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Like, Gen Y, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, right?
Yeah.
Not in that particular order, but it is... I guess it's not that we're out of touch, but if you ask them to name their favorite actor, they won't have an answer. But they'll tell you about their fucking favorite YouTuber, for sure.
Or TikTok, or whatever.
Like,
I will say that Sally and I have worked our hardest to like kind of iron that out of our kids. Like, we have movie night every Friday, so we purposely put them in front of like an hour and a half, hour and 40 minute film
of Caligula.
Only the one that was considered pornography. Just that cut. It's over and
baby,
over again.
It's a baby shark cut.
Yeah.
Baby shark cut. Baby shark, baby shark, baby shark. Mommy shark, mommy shark, mommy shark, mommy shark. Which, speaking of which, you know, like in every summer there's an earworm, all right? You're traveling, whatever, you're going to hear it here, you're going to hear it there, you're going to hear it everywhere. I'll give you an example, fucking Despacito, all right?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
So Despacito comes out on the radio and we are traveling to the dive site, to the port, to catch the boat to go to the dive site. So it's, you know, it's, you don't really even, you don't care about anything other than what's in front of you. And we're in the car, the song comes on, and it's Despacito. And I said to Anya a blanket statement. I just went, I must be right. So I said, Despacito must be the most played video on YouTube. And she goes, well, yeah, so I checked. All right. I checked. It's not, but it's close.
Okay.
Despacito pushed Gangnam Style from top spot. So the guy that wrote Despacito will never have to work again. Because, let me double check, so I'll give you the exact numbers. So that you know, I think it's second. Okay.
Okay.
Guess what the first one is.
Oh, it's a Baby Shark.
It is.
It is totally Baby it is. Shark, isn't
it's
it?
Baby Shark. And I really hope that the people that wrote fucking Baby Shark or that wrote... I hope that the guy that wrote Despacito didn't have to, you know, to sign his rights away too much. But if he didn't, if he cut a deal right, because obviously, you know, that song was... Because it's not just YouTube, mate. This is music that is still in syndication. This is still music. This is the type of music that it gets sold for ads or whatever. So every time it plays, you must get some residuals. You must get something, some royalties. So then we go back to this movie, yeah? Despacito has 8.7 billion views.
Wow. Yeah?
Wow.
And I don't even know how you get paid on YouTube, but again, YouTube is not the only thing this guy will get money from.
No.
Baby Shark, the song that has been torturing parents since its release, has 15 billion. 15 billion. What's the population, the global population at the moment?
Oh my God, who knows? Like it's
6-7 billion? No, no.
World, here we go. World population.
8.2 billion for 2024.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So if we were to distribute Baby Shark equally among everyone in the world, they get to listen to it at least twice, almost.
Now, I'm going to say something controversial.
Go ahead.
Thank goodness the original version of Despacito has got 8 billion compared to the one with Justin Bieber, which is 39 million. Thank God for that, everybody. And actually, the karaoke version has more than the original video.
Of what? A baby shark?
No, no, no. We're talking about Despacito.
Imagine what... That's what I'm doing next time. I'm a karaoke. I'm doing baby shark.
No, I want you to do Tequila. That's still one of my favorite videos on YouTube ever. That guy funny. Who does Tequila and it just stands there and just
goes, how many views does the Tequila does the video have?
Of what that the guy tequila, doing Tequila.
Yeah. And it, okay. And it talk about this fucking movie, I beg you.
I don't know why you've got so it's not
that bad. Are you Did you have your score written down or something? You're gonna have to adjust.
No. It's not even that. I just because I think to myself, because I started off when we watched
Football World.
Red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Even I Well done. I'll give you a little clap for that one. Well done.
Okay. lots of songs to throw throughout this episode. Yeah.
I was thinking when we first did Hot Shots that every time we do a spoof film, I'm going to hate it.
You were thinking when we've... It's like you looked at 10 years ago. We did it 3 weeks ago.
But what I... Remember, I said to you guys, like, what Hot Shots made me think is every time we would go back to a fond comedic movie from our past. So, for example, if we go back to the original Naked Gun... Which I haven't seen for years. Like, I probably haven't seen it for a decade and a half. Am I going to watch the original Naked Gun and go, oh, God, no? Because yeah. I already know that I tried to watch Wrongfully Accused, which was a later Leslie Nielsen film, and I was like, I can't watch this. Like, after 20 minutes, I was like, I can't watch this. I know, for example, like, Spy Hard, I saw in the cinema when I was younger, and I didn't like it then. And so... Your reaction to Part 2, part of me after watching Part 2 was a little bit like, thank God it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. That's part of the way I saw it.
While I was at Umba's, I was talking about Dragnet, and he turned around and said, don't watch it.
Yeah, don't rewatch it, because it let me down last time. Yeah, keep the memory. Keep the fucking memory, because I went there and, hey, maybe that's me. Can I just say, I just looked at the third verse of the lyrics to It's a Wonderful World, and I understand why this song was not covered by Michael Jackson. Because in the third verse, I hear babies cry, I watch them grow, they'll learn much more than I'll ever know, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Shimona! Okay.
All right, back to the movie.
All right. So we do you want to talk about the kickboxer? Shark. Do you want to cover the kickboxer
systemic
scene?
Systemic child abuse.
By the way, that guy who sang Tequila, 6.1 million views. So still behind Despacito with Justin Bieber. Anyway.
How many views Justin Bieber? Why is he even this? Is it?
Because he did a cover.
He did a version of Despacito.
He did?
Yeah, that got sold to America.
It's probably but Despacito got sold to America. Why would you need,
they've done that a few times where they've gotten it happened recently where there was a Latin American song and they got Selena Gomez to do her own version of it so that it would sell further in other territories and things like that.
Dude, Nina 99 Luftballons. Like, she sang it originally in German, then she, But we're mixing shit and chocolate here, to be honest.
To be honest.
That's a great track.
Yeah. Talking of shit and chocolate.
You go. Go to the reviews.
Here is a lovely 10 out of 10 review, which said, could not be made better. This is my favorite movie because there is not a single second in this movie where comedy does not stop. Charlie Sheen should play more comedy roles. The way he keeps a straight face when there is absolute dumbness around him is worthy to praise. Thank you so much, Salik Hetani. August 1st, 2001. But seeing we've done some chocolate, let's do some shit now.
Salik de chocolat.
Salik de chocolat. So this one is Hot Shots Part Doo-Doo. Oops, I mean duh.
My God.
Thank you so much, Bad Movie Ripper, July 5th, 2003, for your one-star review. They should have never been made. The first one was average at best. The second one, total turd city. Very few laughs from very little talent. If you want a much better spoof film, check out Airplane. If you're thinking about watching this one again, don't. It's a waste of time and energy. Just goes to show you Hollywood has money to burn. This film sucks on toast. Bad Movie Ripper gives it a big fat 0 out of 5 stars. Thank you, Bad Movie Ripper. July 5th, 2003.
What's his name?
Bad Movie Ripper.
No numbers?
No numbers, that one.
Oh,
I mean,
mate.
No numbers, that one. Thank this you. Guy, thank you so much, James.
This it's guy right. must have okay. thrown his own fucking parade when he worked out that, that tag was available.
I've got to say that I feel the same about my username that I've used since whenever, and I don't have to put a one after it. I feel very... vindicated myself.
Have you guys read A Confederacy of Dancers?
No.
But you know about the book, right?
Yes.
Well, the protagonist of that book sounds just like Bad Movie Ripper to me. I suggest you read it, by the way. It's fucking great. I'll put it on my list.
Confederacy,
yeah. And it's a great read. You'll find a little bit of yourself in that character as well.
So my question to you, Umba, is do you feel more closer to the 10 out of 10 review or closer to the 1 out of 10 review?
We're going to get to ratings because we are on the 46-minute mark because we talked about Despacito and Baby Shark and Shit and Chocolate. So I think we should each mention our favorite sequence. No need to talk about the bad. Yeah?
Okay.
So... Ricky, you picked this movie.
Yes.
So you go first.
My favorite sequence is got to be... Oh, this is a hard one, but I've
That's
got
what
a...
She said.
That's what she said. don't, or I'll suggest that we do basketball in the future. My favorite sequence...
I like basketball.
I love basketball, and okay, I know should, it's terrible.
Okay.
I know it's
have to
really
do,
bad.
We're going to have to do Cannibal the Musical, basketball, and Orgasmo.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Even though Orgasmo is pretty bad. But
I probably dated horribly, but I loved it when it came out because it was stoner.
My favorite sequence was when they're being searched on the boat by the guard, the enemy who's come to the boat and
did you see the name of the boat?
Oh, what was the name of the boat?
Zara.
But what I really liked about the boat sequence is the absurdity of everything is like so bad about that sequence.
It's a trope, you know that, right?
Yeah.
It's a trope that we've seen recently. Was it the League? Not the League. Oh my God! It's akin to Inglourious Basterds. It came out on what's it called with Henry Cavill?
Yes.
Oh my God!
We dropped it.
All fired. So we've dropped this. So it's Amazon Prime movie.
Yes.
I didn't watch it.
But you've seen it, right?
No. Ricky hasn't seen it.
You haven't seen it.
Okay,
so remember this, what I'm about... Okay, ooh, we need to... I can't believe that we're stroking out over this.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Really,
Steve, smash up Bell.
Steve, get to it. Absolutely. What is it? What's the name of the movie? You know, there's basically anyone listening to our show that listens to us regularly is screaming at the top of their lungs.
Oh, yeah.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
There you go.
Yeah.
There is the movie opens with that. So I have to give for granted that that movie is not paying direct homage to this. It's a trope. It's the trope of the inspection.
But like, it also cuts. So the reason I like the scene is that it also takes up a lot of the original Hot Shots film, which is that all of these these anti characters. I'm going to call them anti characters. These people who are just there for trope reasons, just saying stuff like Omar Sharif. And things like that. But not only that, but the stupidity of like her trying to set out her fishing line and like losing the rod completely and then turning the holder of the fishing line into a telescope.
Did you find it's that just, funny? Did you no, find
it's
that funny?
Not that I found it funny. Again, it's, this film for asshole. Me was definitely a warm comfort blanket. And that scene is another one of those warm comfort blankets that I know I found hilarious when I was whatever age I was when I first. You've got to remember that when this film got released, I saw it in the cinema, and I must have only been about 10 or 11.
No, younger. You don't get to do that. You don't have to justify that because I enjoyed that movie back then. You want to justify yourself? Justify yourself now. For now.
Right? Yeah, when and you enjoy there you it go. Now. My justification is that it's still a little bit of a warm blanket.
I suggest you freeze to death. Fuck your blanket.
Anyway. I love the blanket.
Okay, so I'm just going to put this out there. My favourite scene has already been mentioned, which is the riverboat scene with Charlie Sheen and Martin Sheen. Both repeating their voices from respective Vietnam War movies, so Platoon, Apocalypse Now, and the Wall Street quote, which is perfect. Absolutely amazing. And this brings it down to the fact that originally Marlon Brando was picked to play the president, which would have been really, really great if he was able to do it, but he wasn't.
Yeah, because he was playing around with comedy in that period. Mm.
But I have a second one, and this is...
Who told you could have two?
Oh, man, because this is a deep cut.
Shut the
this
fuck
is,
up.
This is a deep cut, because this throws back to our conversations about basically Lloyd Bridges. And his the theme from Sea Hunt is played when he dives.
Oh my god.
God, fuck. Did you know that?
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for him to mention Sea Hunt.
For our listeners, so, know what the fuck we're talking about? Go listen to the previous episode because he was banging on about it, and he was doing it in my house this time.
Yeah.
And there was no stopping him. I told you. He was like, He gave me that look like,
I would also like to say that one of the other comments that the boat guys had, the Iraqi boat guys said, was cream of onions.
Oh my god. Well, before we talk about my favorite scene.
You haven't said your favorite scene.
Before I go there, I like him in absolutely everything, and I fucking hated him in this.
And
the typo on the crate behind him that was meant to be part of the joke made it so much worse. It was a dear friend, Marcus, that pointed it out. So the excuse that he had too much drink, because what was the typo that I'm talking about? It's the sequence when the actor in question, which is Miguel Ferrer,
spineless.
Correcto mundo.
Yes.
It was, and it did my fucking head in. All right. But not a single thing that came out of Miguel Ferrer's mouth was funny in this. His delivery wasn't funny. The lines that gave him weren't funny. And here's the kicker. His agent should be fucking shot for giving him, for even suggesting that he would do this. Because one thing that Miguel Ferrer does well is he plays a douchebag villain really well in everything he's ever been, pretty much. And he's so fucking good. Is he in Twin Peaks, man?
Yes, he is.
He's in Twin Peaks as well, but he's in, it's just, it is hypnotic when he plays the asshole, it's so believable. I mean, Robocop, dude. He was in fucking Robocop. He was great. He was great. He's such a side character in that, and he was amazing. He was amazing. He's memorable. Every time. Every single time. Favorite sequence. Favorite sequence, and I don't know why, but it still is. It's the entire opening sequence. Besides, the way it's set, it's dog shit, because they kept intertwining the storming of the Navy SEALs of Saddam Hussein's whatever. Which, by the way, it is a blatant example of propaganda, heavy, in a comedy. Yeah, they made a couple of jokes in the first half shot, but don't forget, this is 1993, dude. We are still in a very kind of difficult historical period here when it comes out to I just remember something. That could be my favorite sequence, but it's not my favorite joke. My entire favorite joke of this, and it's the toss-up between halal, spelled with an H, because I laughed out loud. The other one is when Brenda Backey's character is laying down the plans for what they need to do, and she's pointing at a map of the world. And there's a joke that is so dumb, but I fucking laugh so hard. In front of everybody, so no shame. Iraq has an empty spot, and then a place between Iraq and Iraq, which made me think of Arrested Development as well. Do you remember Solid as Iraq?
I mean,
sorry, the opening sequence, the entire sequence with Saddam. I just didn't like the way it was edited, because they pulled you out of it. And it's not that it worked best, because it's his entire routine, and then there's bits of them storming the villa. But that's funny. Even the items in his fridge, like that, the entire little thing, you know, little details there were.
Did you notice what was on the little lunchbox while he was making the sandwich? With the Saram wrap. No.
Yes. Sahara wrap.
Who was on the box?
Wasn't it himself?
What's in the box? It was the Palestinian Liberation Organizer who, during the 90s, Yasser Arafat was on his lunchbox.
Yes. And also, didn't he have a tally with Gaddafi and any American enemy for the past 40 years? But anyway, enemy of America.
The Hungry Nomads. The 2% camel milk.
That's a thing, by the way. That's a thing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, camel milk is a thing in the Middle East. Yeah. That's the majority of the milk you get is camel milk.
Mm.
Yeah. In fact, you can go to a Costa in Egypt and get a camel milk latte.
No.
I don't know that. I don't go to Costa. Don't worry about the camel milk. That's not the issue. It's the Costa.
I love that.
As a coffee connoisseur, I wouldn't be seen killed.
I love that. I was just like, hey, just say, like, I didn't walk on the premise. No, that was me. No. There's video, but it wasn't me. No.
It is time for ratings. I want us to. You got a pencil or a pen available? Or write it with your blood.
Okay.
We are not. I want to see. I'll tell you what.
I'm getting a page.
No decimal points allowed. It's got to be round.
What?
It's got to be round, because I want to see if we sync up here.
We won't. I'm going to tell you now, we're not going to sync up.
Okay.
I know we're not going to sync up.
I wrote it down.
Okay, I wrote it down as well.
Well, hold on. Oh, man. I haven't got a pen or anything. I normally have my digital pad next to me, and I don't today, so I've got to
touch
find...
Touch grass, dude. Touch grass.
I can't believe you can't...
No,
decimal.
Yeah, why wouldn't you give us a decimal, man?
Because I want to see. It's easier to see if... Come on, you got 10 numbers, man.
Yeah. But still...
Okay. Half points. All right?
Okay.
Right. Half. All right. And I will change my rating because of that. Because I limited myself there. So there you go.
Would you believe I live in such a digital world at the moment? I can't find a pen that works.
Do you want
my horse for a pen? My horse for a pen. My kingdom.
Did you say my horse or my oar?
My whore. My whore for a pen. My hole for a pen.
How many holes have you got, man? Like, what's going on? We're talking about stables here. A stable of horse.
Well, horses. You know, Ralphie killed my horse, so, you know. All right. Are we ready?
We're ready? To the camera? Yeah, sure. And okay. We'll read it, each one. Go. Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Ricky, what's yours?
7.5.
What?
Oh, yeah, oh. 7.5.
Okay, myself and Steve are both 4.5s.
Nice. Yep.
7.5.
Yep.
You gave this 7.5.
Shall I tell you why?
No, I should write this down because I'm going to throw this at you for the
you
rest
of this
podcast.
You can throw it at me for the rest of timer.
Yes. I'm just going to ask.
I'm going to write it on the corner of my laptop.
4.5 watts.
We're going to get to that. All right. We're going to get to that. I'll go first. I'll go first. All right. Okay. It's a 4.5 because I think it's rating higher than Hot Shots, because I think we gave a Hot Shot like a 4 or something. So
yeah,
and it's, you know, I mean, 2 minds about that as well. I think there was a sense of cohesion that doesn't belong in a movie like this that was present in Hot Shots, because it was sticking to the plot of Top Gun much more than this one did for some reason. This is basically Rambo 3. Through and through. No, two. It's not three. Three is in the Russian. It's Rambo 2, isn't it? It's Rambo 2.
Yeah.
That's a Myanmar, Burma, whatever thing, right? That's the one. Is that where it takes place? Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. And I didn't feel that here, you know, like it's. And also, there's the lightning in a bottle kind of thing for the series. I'm pretty sure that there's a reason why we didn't get Hot Shots Part 3, right?
Well,
if this movie made this much money, well, what is it, Steve? Why?
Well, the reason why we didn't get Hot Shots Part 3.
Abraham's died or something?
No, it's still alive. Due to Terminal Velocity being made.
Ah.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to just agree with that because it's matter of fact? Like, what is the connection?
So basically, Charlie Sheen declined due to prior commitments with filming Terminal Velocity.
Did I imagine this, or was there a Wraith joke in Hot Shots Part 2?
A Wraith joke.
I think you imagined it, because I would have got that.
That would have been a better movie.
I did get the classic news report, which was Men at Work.
Yes.
Yeah, so there was a moment where they're talking about yet another body of a politician was found neatly folded in the glove compartment of a garbage truck.
Which is a
direct reference to
Men at Work, yeah.
With Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen.
Yes. You had trouble saying Emilio. You want to go again?
Emilio Estevez.
And I was like, Emilio!
Emilio!
Roxbury. Yeah. It's a 4.5. It's what it is. It was a product of its time, yes. But that's all I've got to say. And it's a 4.5. It's a 4.5 injections full of steroids that Charlie Sheen had to take to get in shape for this movie. And that's what next.
Okay, so I'm going to say 4.5 Star Wars references jammed into a bad movie.
I completely forgot about that fucking lightsaber.
It's basically paying homage to two different things. Because obviously what you've got is the fight between Saddam and President Benson. Mm. So is kind of spoofed between two different movies, Star Wars and also The Adventures of Robin Hood.
True.
Because they get to break the sword.
Is this in your notes as well?
Yeah.
Sandwiched between which guns?
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Those are on a separate page.
If there was a porn series called Sandwich Between Two Guns.
Oh, my God.
I would also got to be Google it.
But
man.
Where were they firing blanks?
Yeah. There's got to be a porn movie called Sandwich Between Two Guns.
I'm not looking for it.
Okay.
Do you think that last fight sequence was a little bit Princess Bride as well?
Yeah. It has that same kind of thing. Well, because. when we look at it, it's okay. Robin Hood Men in Tights, I would say. Yeah. Rather than that. Yeah. Yeah. Princess Bride.
Did you see Mel Brooks wore a sixth fake finger at his. Did you see the photos?
No, I didn't
see
it.
They gave him his star, right? Like, and he. He without telling anybody, he attached a sixth finger to his and put it in the cement. Good legend. Absolute legend. All right. You're done, Steve's? 4.5 what? What is it? What was it?
Star Wars parody references.
Nice. Nice. Vicky. All right. Time to shine.
If we were allowed to give decimal points, I actually would have said probably closer to a 7.1 or 7.2. Oh, the only reason...
No.
Of course I'm bringing it down, because you said, oh, it has to be a half point. So, you know what? I'm giving this movie a little bit more props, because there's something about this parody movie which I feel like it still lived up to certain aspects to when I first saw it. I feel like that this parody movie set me up for other parody movies. This was like a good gateway that allowed me to understand and work with other parody movies. Is it perfect? No. Can it be a good laugh with the right people? Totally. And I'm not saying that the people that you guys saw it with weren't the right people. I just think that, as you guys said previously, time, place, whatever.
No, but we left nostalgia out of this, mate.
I know. The reason why I'm bringing nostalgia back into this is because...
It's because it's the only fucking way to give it a 7.5.
No, it's because I still sat there watching it this time, like finishing offline.
Was Sally watching it with you?
Yep, and I still found it really quite funny. I found it quite funny. It doesn't
wait a second. Was she? Did you have to state that now because she wasn't laughing?
No. She was laughing too. Okay. The only reason why I'm saying I found it quite funny is because after watching Hot Shots by myself, I was ready not to find this funny at all.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So that's why, for me, I've given it quite a high rating. Because I would watch this again over the original Hot Shots. So 7.5 what? 7.5, as listed on the soundtrack, I've Got a Lot of Hair for a Bald Guy, and If I Wear It Like This, You Won't Notice, by Michael Bolton.
No bad. For our listeners, we won't tell you what's coming up next week, but we have a special guest and we have a very special movie. And on that note, this was Umba.
This was Ricky.
This was Steve.
Bye!
Daryl Strawberry spends his winters thinking of new excuses.
Hey, my farm machine got delivered.
Aye. Fancy! D.Y. Sabes que ya llevo un rato mirándote. Tengo que bailar contigo hoy. Tigua. Vi que tu mirada ya estaba llamándome. Muéstrame el camino que yo voy. Oh, tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso. Oh yeah, ya me está gustando más de lo normal. Todo mi sentido va pidiendo más. Esto hay que tomarlo sin ningún apuro. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firma las paredes de tu laberinto. Lugares favoritos, favorito, favorito, baby. Déjame sobrepasar tus zonas de
pasito a pasito, suave, suavecito, nos vamos pegando poquito a poquito. Cuando tú me besas con esa destreza, veo que eres malicia con delicadeza. Pasito a pasito, suave, suavecito, nos vamos pegando poquito a poquito. Y es que esa belleza es un rompecabezas, pero para montarlo aquí tengo la pieza. Oye,
despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firma las paredes de tu laberinto y hacer de tu cuerpo tu hacerlo en una playa en Puerto Rico, hasta que las olas griten ay bendito, para que mis sellos se queden.